Welcome to the Vineyard Cleveland podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information and other resources, please visit vineyardcleveland.org.
Just brace yourselves, guys, because we're going to do something different today in church. We're going to shake up the format. If you see all the little papers taped around the floor, we're going to explain that in due time. So just brace yourself that church is not going to look the exact same as it always does. But let's read Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ has apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. And what does he ascended mean, except that he also descended into the lower earthly regions? He who descended is also the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up together in love as each part does its work. So this passage opens up with a call to unity, a call to oneness. This unity thing is extremely important. This idea of unity is very close to God's heart. In John 17, one of the last prayers Jesus prayed as a man on this earth was for his church to be unified. He prayed for us, and he said, Father, I pray for them that they may be one as we are one. Right? So this unity, this idea of us being one, is close to the core of God's heart. And because it's in the core of God's heart, it's in the core of our transformed hearts too, right? Even if we're not aware of it on the surface, the very fiber of our beings calls out for unity, calls out for that connection, calls out to be known and to know each other and to be for each other, seeking that oneness. And in spite of all the differences of personality and upbringing and social status or political status or religious viewpoints or all those kinds of things, we all have deep-seated reasons to be one with each other, right? Because we all belong to one body. We're already part of one body. And we have access to God through one Spirit. Our lives flow from this one hope. We follow one Lord. We have one faith. There is one baptism. We have one God. We have one Father of us all, who is over all and through all and in all. I think it's cool because we're not trying to fight against our own nature when we're trying to seek oneness, right? It's not like we're fighting an uphill battle. Notice how in this text, it doesn't say make every effort to create the unity of the Spirit. Right? We need to work together to try to stir up the unity of the Spirit. It says make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit. The Spirit is already one and has already made us one. And so the gravity of the Holy Spirit is constantly pulling us towards oneness. So and also it's helpful because you share all the deepest, most important, most eternal parts of who you are with every other believer in Christ. Everything about your spiritual identity, everything about your hope, everything about who Jesus has made you, you have in common with the person sitting next to you who follows Jesus, right? You have more in common with a Christian from some far-off world who speaks a different language and doesn't know anything about our lifestyle than you have with, like, your closest unbelieving friend, because we have that core foundation of Jesus giving us that identity. And if you're following Jesus, then that means you're going to be walking towards oneness, because one of the things that Jesus desires most is for his body to be united in oneness. That's where he's going. But that's not the whole of it, right? Because God has called us to oneness, but he has not called us to sameness. Verse 7 says, to each of us, grace has been given us as Christ has apportioned it. So that means each of us has a distinct allotment of a particular grace, a unique personal gifts that are chosen for us by Jesus himself. The uniqueness of who you are, the way that you are wired, was specifically designed by God with purpose in mind. That means that when we gather together, when you come to church, when you go to work, that everyone here has a part to play. Everyone has a role to fulfill. Christianity is not a spectator sport. It's not a sport. It's not a thing that we just sit back and we cheer for the person on stage or the worship team. We're like, all right, you did it. Way to be a Christian. And then we just go on, we clap, and then we go on with our lives, right? The Spirit of the living God is inside of each one of us, and he is charging us with a purpose, right? He's created us for a purpose. There are no second-class gifts. In verse 16 of what we were reading, it says that the body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament. And it also says that this body grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So if we come to church and we're just kind of like coasting through and we're thinking, I don't have anything to bring, I'm just, I'm not a pastor or whatever, then we are not, the church is not going to be built up. The way that the church functions as God has intends it to is that each one of us recognizes that God has given us purpose and mission, and that who we are is something important, and that God has made us who we are so that we can encourage and speak life and build each other up, right? That's what we come to church to do. And isn't it wonderful, though, that these are gifts? It's not something that we have to earn, right? It's not like, okay, I've got purpose. How am I going to find this purpose? God, what am I going to do? Like, we just are who we are, who God has made us and is making us to be, and God himself will use that to build us up. So we can step out in faith to build up each other up by being ourselves. We don't have to try to maintain an image. We don't have to try to look like someone else. We can simply be who God uniquely created us to be. And not only that, but we have freedom to step out in the faith of discovering our gifts and who we are, because we are family. We're the body, right? The church is a safe place to practice the messy art of loving and encouraging each other. So one of the ways that we can, you can discover who you are, discover your gifts, and figure out where you plug into church is through Life Track. We offer it, every Sunday. There are classes that are designed to, like, help you figure out, who am I? What's my place? What does God want me to do when I'm here in this church and in this world? But another way to do it is to just simply step out and to try it. Take a risk. Sometimes you might fail, but we're here, we're family, we know that our purpose is to build each other up. So even when you step out and fail, that step of faith honors God, right? And it honors the person that you're stepping out in faith to encourage. And so that's what we're going to do now.